Awesome. Thanks for coming back. If you were there, you might remember that when Pastor James spoke, he mentioned that university is a time and place where you figure out who God has made you to be and what God is calling you to do in this world. And this month, we are going through a series called Three Epic Decisions of University Life, because we believe that as you go about these 4 or 5 years of your degree, while you figure out God's calling, there are these three major decisions that you need to make as you go through the season of your life. First, the decision of who you share your life with, which is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Second, the decision of who you worship, which we'll touch on next week. And finally, the decision of who you're willing to love, which will be at the end of the month. All right? So before I dive in, did anyone do any traveling this summer? Yeah, where'd y'all go? Just chat them out. Italy? San Francisco? Huh?
Austria?
That's Thank you. Awesome. Well, I had the privilege of going to the UK for a couple of weeks back in July. I got to see family there. I have relatives who live out in Cambridge, so I was able to go visit them. Hadn't seen them in a long time. But I'm not going to talk about that trip. What I want to talk about is the very beginning, before I even got to London, just the flights and the chaos that went through with that, because I'm sure some of you know Air Canada can be just difficult sometimes. Oh my gosh. So the flight route that I took was Kelowna to Montreal, Montreal to London. But the first night, I got rerouted from Montreal to Ottawa because it was stormy in Montreal. So it was frustrating to have to, you know, backtrack and then go again the next day. But that was fine. Fair enough. It was stormy. Couldn't land. Whatever. But the next day, got back to Montreal, waiting for the flight to London. All the passengers, we were at the gate, getting ready to board. And then we all get this text about a delay because there was an issue with the bridge from the gate to the plane or something like that. So we all had to move gates and expecting that we were still going to board right when we moved. That's not what happened. We waited for another 2.5, almost 3 hours. And I heard a lot of complaining too. I think some of the passengers in that flight already had the same flight delayed a bunch and then canceled the night before, so they had to be on this one. And I was just kind of killing time on my phone and updating my family about my what was going on with my flight because they were already ahead of me. But anyway, at the end, 3 hours later, plane's finally ready. We can board. We had to get on this. The bridge still wasn't fixed. We had to get on this weird-looking bus and then get to the plane from there. But as we were doing that, I noticed that people were finally less frustrated, now just more relieved, right? Some people were laughing at the situation. And I heard a comment that someone made that I kind of already thought myself. And I can't quite quote him, but he said something along the lines of that shared experience of having that delay and all that frustration got us all kind of together, which actually happens in most cases when flights don't go as planned. I learned today, too, that that's actually a social phenomenon now, like with research and stuff, that a group of passengers with the same delayed flight become this temporary community, basically, right, for that duration of time. And, you know, so although that was a frustrating experience for me, that experience was shared with others. I didn't talk to anybody on that flight. I never saw them again after that experience. Don't know where they ended up after we landed in London. But during those few hours, there was some sense of comfort in sharing those frustrations. And that was just a few hours. So how much more important does it become then to find people who you can share all of your life experiences with? And that's what this first decision is about. It's about making friends. It's about finding your people. It's about finding belonging to a community. In the university context, there's a lot of places you can go to find people you might click with. There's clubs like UCM. Next week, there's a club expo that you can go to where you can find all the clubs on campus. If you're into sports, you can join intramural teams. If you're into music or singing, I think there's a rock band on campus. There's the a cappella club as well. I'm going to show you a quote from my friend here. Gavin, he's a USAM alumni from 2020. He said, "University is a $30,000 way to make friends." Which, I'm sorry, I know that number is different now, especially for international students. I was an international student here too. I know it's more closer to 120, I think, the number. This quote doesn't mean that you should let go of your academics and just focus on the social aspects of university life. It just means that Gavin here highly valued the relationships that he cultivated while he was here at university. And I believe it's important for all of you to value that as well. And I want to talk about why that's important, right? So first, it's because we were created for community. In the very beginning of Scripture, we notice these three things from Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. Genesis 1 talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in it. Genesis 2 focuses specifically on the creation of Adam and Eve, or man and woman. And Genesis 3 talks about the fall of humanity, or the entry of what we call sin in the world. So again, Genesis 1 and 2 are about creation, where chapter 2 focuses on the creation of man and woman. Genesis 3 is about the fall, all right? I'm not going to read all these three chapters out because it's a little long, but what I want to talk about is just God's own evaluation of his creation throughout the first two chapters of Genesis, okay? So if you go through Genesis 1, you'll notice these verses. Chapter 1, verse 4, God saw that the light was good. Verse 10, God saw that the seas and the earth were good. Verse 13, God saw that the trees, the plants, and the vegetation were good. Verse 18, and God saw that the sun, moon, and the stars were good. Verse 21, and God saw that the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky were good. Verse 25, and God saw that the land animals were good. And finally, in verse 31, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, quickly going back to the summary of the three chapters, again, notice that Genesis 3, okay, is where sin comes into the world, all right? Next slide. We see, however, in the chapter before that, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" So notice this, before sin even enters the world, before humans are separated from God, before any imperfection, there was something that God already said was not a good thing, and that is for man to be alone. To me, that makes it clear that God created us to be in relationship with one another. Okay? Jumping to the New Testament, I believe that community and relationship is important because Jesus commanded us to love each other. John 13, verses 34 to 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So that kind of love can only happen with each other, you know, if you're in community or if in your you are in relationship. And if you are a follower of Jesus, we are commanded to love each other, to show love to each other and show that love to each other to the rest of the world so that they know that we are followers of Jesus. Okay. I'll come back to these verses later. But the third thing about why community is important is because I believe a community can help you find a place where you are heard and encouraged when you are going through struggles and hardships. Mindy Calaguire, she is the founder and president of Soul Care. Soul Care is a spiritual formation ministry that exists to increase soul health in the body of Christ. I'm going to read a little excerpt from her book called Spiritual Friendship to explain my next point here. It says this: are there any widespread communities characterized by truth and grace in this world? Interestingly, there is one kind of transformational community whose participants fairly consistently experience a significant measure of personal growth across generations, cultures, and individual histories. These kinds of communities embrace dependence on God's grace, and they hold out hope for the real possibility of healing and the life of renewed peace and purpose. Sadly, but not surprisingly, these groups fall under the disdain of many in the church. I am talking about 12-step communities. If you don't know what a 12-step community is, that's the community of people who are together recovering from alcohol or drug addiction or the like. So like Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. Mindy Kaligwar continues to say this: people in 12-step communities come to accept that they are powerless. They come to see that they are dependent on God or a higher power. They know that they need grace. As a result, these people are transformed to the extent that they embrace this path of life. Typically gritty and gut-wrenchingly honest, the quest for real and authentic is clear. You're only as sick as your secrets, you'll hear. That sounds a lot like Jesus. Similarly, one of the anchor values of recovery is a certain kind of community, the essence of which is relationships marked by grace and truth that underpin and sustain those finding freedom from addictions. Continuing on that same topic, Johan Hari, he's a writer and a journalist. He did this TED talk back in 2015 called Everything You Think You Know About Addiction is Wrong. And he reinforces the idea that Kaligwar mentioned in her book that I just talked about, because his research was all on addicted communities. And you can look up this TED talk later. It's pretty cool stuff. But I wanted to point you to the quote that he says at the end of this video is, the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. And why am I talking about addiction right now? Because I believe that another reason finding and being in close-knit community is important is that it allows you to walk with each other in all of your struggles. Not necessarily an addiction, it doesn't have to be that, but just stress, anxiety, all the things that you go through will be a lot easier with other people. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So again, why is community important? Because God created us for a relationship, because Jesus commands us to love one another, and because through community you can confess to and pray for one another in any of your struggles. Right? Now that we know why it's important to find people to share your life with, let's talk about what it looks like for to look for those people and what it looks like to share your life with them. So let's go back to that New Testament passage I mentioned earlier in John 13. Jesus commands his disciples, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. So what that looks like in community is to follow and obey Jesus' teachings on love. And some of them are these: love your neighbor as yourself. Gives a pretty clear example in that passage in Luke 10, which is the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus tells us as well to love your enemies, which he mentions in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And this last one, Jesus himself exemplifies in his crucifixion. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Besides following Jesus' teachings on love, another important thing is from this next verse. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So when you're looking for people to share your life with, find the people who can be an encouragement to you, but make sure that you can reciprocate that to them as well and be an encouragement to them. Finally, Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When you're in a relationship and when you're in community, find the people you can persevere as a community with. By finding people who can meet with you habitually and those who can push you to love and to good works with each other and service to others. So, how do you get started with finding this community of people to share lives with? I don't want to just talk about how important community is and then not give you a chance to find that, right? Here at UCM, we value community and we want to help you get connected to one. And Thursday nights is a great way to do that, but with this many people around, it's difficult to go into more intimate or personal conversations, right? So here at UCM, we also have what we call our core groups. Core groups are a small group of 6 to 12 people that share lives, study the Bible together, pray for each other, and serve the campus. All of our core groups this year will study the Gospel of Luke in semester 1, and then the letter of James, the brother of Jesus, in semester 2. We've got 4 groups running throughout the week. They're on the slide there. But after everything tonight, you'll get to meet all of them. I think they've already been reaching out to a lot of you, actually, as well. So hopefully you've gotten connected with them. And the first one begins tomorrow. And it'll run through the rest of the year. So. And my hope for you all is that joining a core group this year will allow you to step into an encouraging community that allows you to grow and stay strong in your faith in Jesus. Or, if you're here and you don't already know Jesus, then first of all, I'm glad you're here at all. But I hope you join a core group and that you can begin to get to know Jesus there. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just that you've created us to be in relationship and community with each other. I pray that through this night and through the small groups that we have throughout the week, that your love is present among each and every one of us, and that we can commit to these communities so that there are people with whom we are comfortable to share our lives from now until a long time from now. In Jesus' name, amen.